Today's shiur is Masechet Erev and Daf Kuf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis as we will see after the Shemaya finish Masechet Erev, Messiah Masechet Erev. Our Mishnah discusses if a sheretz, we know that the Torah speaks about Shemoneh Shrotzim, eight different Shrotzim that are Tomei, they are Ava Tuma. And if they touch a person or kalim or food or mashkim, they become, whatever touches them becomes tamei. Whatever touches them becomes tamei to the degree of being a rishon l'tumah or a vlad metama, a vlad atumah. The halacha is that something which is a rishon l'tumah only can make oichlam mashkim medaraisa tamei. There, however, are avos tumah that also give off tumah betumas masa by carrying them. A sheretz is not in that category. A sheretz only gives off tumah tumas maga, not tumas meis, not tumas masa. So our Mishnah discusses a situation where sheretz was found in the Beis HaMikdash, and as our Mishnah Gemara will discuss, and is obvious, there's an obligation to remove that sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash immediately. But there's a problem. If the Kohen will remove the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash, he will become tamei by touching the sheretz. So, and that will cause that person who now is tamei is in the Beis HaMikdash, which, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, is certainly usur. We will discuss in the Gemara to what degree is there an isur, but certainly it's usur for a person that's tamei to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So, as we're going to learn the Mishnah, there are two options. One option is to carry it out in a way that will avoid the person becoming tamei, but that will cause, obviously, that keli to become tamei, or to try to do it in a way that has the least tuma involved. So says the Mishnah, sheretz shenimtza b'migdash, if a sheretz was one of the Shemoneh Shrotzim, was found in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shemoneh Shrotzim are tamei on when they're dead, our Mishnah, says the Mashah, doesn't only apply to Shabbos. The issue that we're discussing, as we mentioned a moment ago, what do we do when we're faced with such a challenge, is really a question that applies during the week as well. Sheretz shenimtza b'migdash, koyim etzir be'emunayah. The halacha is that a koyim, one of the big dekuna that the koyim wears is the avnet, and what the Mishnah teaches us is that the koyim should carry out that sheretz with his avnet. Shloilishus is a tuma. We want to get the tuma out as quickly as possible. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. Why a kohen? As we're going to learn in the Gemara, because the kohen is there, and as our Gemara teaches us, there may be a point to not let someone else besides a kohen do that by taking it out. The question that, of course, many ask is, why does the Mishnah specifically say it should be behem menoyei? Why do we have to take it out with his avnet more than any of the other big day kahuna? So the Sefer Mudei Or and many other say this word as well, explain that the avnet that the kohen wears, the Gemara discusses, was shatnas, was klayim, which of course under normal circumstances may not be worn. Why was the kohen allowed to wear the avnet? The kohen was allowed to wear the avnet because that's the big dekuna. But as soon as the avoida is over, the kohen has to remove his avnet. So since that's the first beged that the kohen immediately has to remove, for he has no right to wear the avnet. He only is allowed to wear the avnet as long as he's doing the avoida. Now he's obviously not doing the avoida. He's taking out the sheretz. So that's why that's the most available beged to take it out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Betzeves Shalates, we should take wood tongs, because they are pshute kleich, and whereas an avnet is a beged, and a beged, as we said earlier, is mekabel tuma. The halacha is the pshute kleich and not mekabel tuma. So therefore, he says, use these pshute kleich shloi l'rabsus a tuma in order to avoid tuma, in order to avoid making something tummy. The question, of course, that needs to be discussed is, why is there no heter to remove whatever we're removing because of graf sharei? Why is this not considered a graf sharei? So there's many, this is a very, which we learned when we learned Masechet Shabbos, even though a graf sharei is technically muksa, we're allowed to move a graf sharei on Shabbos. So there's a few answers. The first answer is that a graf sharei is something that is a heter that we try to avoid. It's not something that we say automatically the heter of graf sharei. Moreover, Ramosha Netshuva, Erechaim Chelik Hei, Simen Chaf Aleph, says that a graf sharei is a heter for mius. You can't just say that for every other situation we're going to say that this is a graf sharei. We have to look at every situation individually and not just make every situation into a graf sharei. Moreover, the Teresh Yisrael says, going back to what I said a moment ago, you could only rely on the heter of graf sharei in a where you have no other option. So as we're going to learn, there is an option of just covering the sheretz. So since there's an option of covering the sheretz, we may not use the heter of graf sharei. I also saw that the Mishnah Melech suggests that the heter of graf sharei is only in somebody's private home. Chazal wanted that in our private homes, we should feel comfortable. We should not have to run out of our homes on Shabbos. So that's when we have a halacha of graf sharei. That's what Chazal gave us, the halacha of graf sharei. But it wasn't necessarily apply. It's a chiddush, because throughout this parak we've been learning that we're more lenient in the Beis HaMikdash than in one private home. But that's what he suggests. Of course, I saw that the Sefer Nois Desha says that the lesson of our Mishnah is that a person should be tohor. A person's doing the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have to be only in the Beis HaMikdash. Wherever we are, we're constantly supposed to be doing Avodas Hashem. And as we're supposed to be doing Avodas Hashem, we have to make sure that there is no Sheretz HaNimtza B'Mikdash, that there is no Tumah, there is no outside improper influences in our Avodas Hashem. The question is, how a person has to be smart how to avoid or how to fight those influences. And our Mishnah, in fact, gives us two ways of doing so. One way that the Mishnah suggests of doing so is to remove it immediately, even at a cost of being mar b'tuma. And sometimes that's not the right approach. We don't want to be mar b'tuma. And therefore, the proper approach, perhaps, the Gemara suggests, the Mishnah suggests, is bring it tzavah shaleitz. Don't let the tumma grow. But what the Mishnah is teaching us is we have to take different approaches and we have to be very smart in the approaches that we take, how to avoid tumma. And he continues, we just began, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the last Mishnah, Masechet Erevin, and to connect it to the first Mishnah, Masechet Pesachim, Ola Ba'osa Boitkim. What does the Mishnah teach us over there? The Mishnah teaches over there also that we know Chametz is very much in many Sfarim connected to the Yetzer Hara. And we teach us, Orla Ba'asar, Baitkin. What we have to do is not just make sure that there's no Chametz. Baitkin, we have to search out the Chametz. We're going to learn, we have to do Bedikas Chametz. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem that you have to do Bittel Chametz. We have to do all sorts of different acts to make sure that the Tumah, that the Yetzer Hara is eradicated from us. There's a problem of Muksa. So the question is, from which area in the Beis HaMikdash may we remove a sheretz? Min ha-heichel, the heichel is the kodesh. Min ha-ulam is the is the corridor entering the Heichal. Umbeina Ulam Mizbeach, and from the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam Divir of Shimon Bananas, that is the opinion of Shimon Bananas. Rav Kiva Mekom Mokum Shechayovna Al-Zadoyne Chorus Val-Shigosu Chatos, anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash area, where if we would bring in a Sheretz, there would be an Isser, we could remove it, even though it involves, as we mentioned a few moments ago, carrying Muksa. Shaka Mekomus, other areas in the Beis HaMikdash where there is no Isser, so we come back to the Isser Muksa, and what we should do is cover it up with a copper bowl and leave it that way until Matzah Shabbos, and the Matzah Shabbos will take it out. Shimon Aimer, now Shimon ends the Mishnah, the Gemara ends the Masechta, explaining Rav Shimon's statement with some ambiguous words. Shimon Aimer, Mokum Shetir Lo Chachamim Mishalcha, wherever Chachamim allowed you to do something, what they allowed you was really from yourself. And we'll see what that means in a minute. The halacha, as we said at the beginning of the shir, is that a person who's tamei may not enter the Beis HaMikdash while he is tamei. Furthermore, one may not bring kelim, which are tamei, into the Beis HaMikdash. As the pasuk says, v'lo yitamu es machneim asher ani shoychem b'seichem. Now the question is, what is the halacha about the sheretz? We just identified a person that's tamei may not be go in, and a person who is a kelim that are tamei. What about a sheretz? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kista Mishmul, Hamachnas Tamei Sheretz LeMikdash Chayiv. If somebody brings a tamei somebody with a sheretz to the base of Mikdash Chayiv, then he's Chayiv Sheretz Atzmei Potter. So the Gemara says a fascinating halacha. If you bring in the sheretz, you'll be potter. If you bring in a keli that became tamei because of the sheretz, then you're potter. My tama, what's the reason? Amakra mizach v'nakevet shaleichu. The Torah says mizach v'nakevet shaleichu. That's the source for teaching us that somebody's tamei must be removed from the base of Mikdash. So we learn from here, says the Gemara, mishiyei shloi tar b'mikvah. Only something that could have a tar b'mikvah has this halacha. Yotz sheretz, but a sheretz shein leitar b'mikvah, because a sheretz you can't be mitar by putting the sheretz into the mikvah. There's a very big machloikus rishonim when the Gemara says here chayiv. So what would be the punishment if somebody did this b'mezit? From Rashi here, Rashi seems to say that there would be a chayiv karis. Others say that it's a chayiv malkus. So the Sefer Gaon Yaakov asks a question. If we're saying that what it depends on is if there is tahara b'mikvah or there isn't tahara b'mikvah, so then a mace, we also know, doesn't have tahara b'mikvah. So he asks, the halacha should be that if somebody brings a mace into the Beis HaMikdash, he should be potter. And he asks that the Gemara Masechta Pesachim teaches us that a mace may be brought into Machna Levia, as the pasuk says, "Vayikach Moishes Atzmas Yosef." Moshe Ben was a Levi, and he took along with himself the Atzmas Yosef in the Machna Levia. But you're not allowed to take along a mace into the Beis HaMikdash. So he says that since a mace is even a higher level of tuma, a mace, as we know, is the Avia Voisa tuma. So even though we're having a discussion here, that everything we're discussing in our Gemara is about a avatoma. But when we speak about a via voisatoma, certainly he says the loch is that may not be brought into the base HaMikdash. He also, this Gemara is also used to discuss a very famous question. The question is, we have the Neis Chanukah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us find tar oil and not have to use Tamidig oil, even though technically we were allowed to use it because the halach is tuma hutra b'tziba. So the question is that so why indeed did Hashem make the nais? So Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horowitz says that the halacha of tumah hutra b'tzibur wasn't set on oil. It was only set on kabonis, not on the oil. But ask the Chacham Tzvi, even if you'll be able to say that the halacha of tumah hutra b'tzibur wasn't set on the oil, but still, the halacha is, as we just learned, anything that doesn't have tahara b'mikvah, there is no problem. Oil obviously doesn't have tahara b'mikvah, so why should there be a problem? So the Chacham Tzvi says, indeed, technically, if they only had found tamei oil, would they be allowed to use it? The halacha would be that even if they would be allowed to bring that tamei oil. So what is our mission? So what was the Neis Chanukah? The Neis Chanukah is and was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show them how much he loves them. And how did he show his love? By making the Neis Chanukah, even though it wasn't necessary. So Gemara wants to bring a raya to this halacha. Lema Masayle. The pasuk says, "Mizocha and the kevet to shalechu plat l'klicheres that became tamei that you don't have to take them out of the base of Mikdash." Divrei Rabbi Yosi Glili. Ask the Gemara, "My tama, why is klicheres different?" La mishum, because the halacha is, whereas all other kelim can become, if they become tamei, you could immerse them in the mikvah. A klicheres can't become tamei, can't become tar by putting down the mikvah. The less lay tar by mikvah. So Gemara loy, that's not the raya. Mishanasa avatoma, only things that have to be removed from the base of Mikdash when they are tamei are things that can become an avatoma. Yotzu klicheres, shenanasa avatoma. Could there are only two ways that a keli can become an avatoma? One way a keli can become an avatoma is kli medris. Medris azov is if the zov sits on it. Now, a zov won't sit on a kli cheres because a kli cheres, an earthenware keli, will break if you sit on it. So that's not a possibility. So it can't become an avatoma that way. The other way is by it touching an avatoma. The Torah says, "V'nefesh and the gas titmad arav," and the Gemara explains it's not only the nefesh, any keli. Now we learn from there. The halacha is that only something that has the possibility of tahara b'mikvah, that pasuk, by them, there's a din that they can become an avatoma, becoming in contact. However, a keli that doesn't have that ability, as I said a moment ago, the Torah, when it speaks about the tahara of a kli cheres, the only tahara cheres, the only way a kli cheres could ever become tor is by breaking the kli cheres. Because the Torah says regarding the kli cheres, v'oisus ish bayru, the only way you can make a tor is by breaking it. So this a keli that can't have tahara by mikvah, these isurim don't apply. Loi, says the Gemara, lema katanoi, should we say that this question of allowing to bring a kli cheres, bringing a sheretz into the base of Mikdash is machlokes tanoim. It says in our Mishnah, we just learned, sheretz shenimtza b'Mikdash. If a sheretz was found in the base of Mikdash, koyim mitzia b'amnoyoi, the koyim could carry it out with his avnei, shloi l'hashis tuma divrei Rabbi Yochanan b'Breika. Yehuda ben Omer, we learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, but seva shaleitz, mitzioi take it out with pshutik kliyetz, and the reason was, shloi l'arbis is a tuma. So, my laugh suggests the Gemara B'Hokonski. What's the Machloikus in our Mishnah? The mass of Rabbi Yochanan Breika's opinion is, Shaloi Lashes, that you have to get the Tumah out as quickly as possible, because his opinion is, Kosova Machna Sheretz L'Migdash Chayiv. If you bring the Sheretz into the base of Migdash, you're going to be Chayiv. And therefore, we want to get the Sheretz out as quickly as possible. Uman Dama Shaloi Labris, that we don't want to make more tumah, and therefore don't take it out in a way that you're going to cause more tumah to happen by the avnate becoming tumah. He holds ksava machne sheretz to mikdash potter, and therefore we don't have the pressure of getting it out so quickly. Says the Marloi, that is not necessarily what the machloikus tanoim and our mission is about. For it could be the kula alma. Everybody agrees that if you bring a sheretz into the base of the shechayiv. The machloikus is a much more simple machloikus. The machloikus is, Masover shiur tuma adif. Rabbi Huda's opinion is we have to take out the sheretz right away, and even though it's at the expense, we should take it out with the prongs, with the it's kli sheret, kli eitz, because even though there's an issue of keeping a sheretz in the base of Mikdash, we don't want to cause more tum in the world. Or Masover abushit tuma adif, he's not concerned about creating more tum in the world. And as I saw, Rabbi Yosef Engel explains the machloikis, what, there's a constant question, he says, that we have. Do we look at more time or more quantity? One man Dama says the time is more important, and therefore we want to get the sheretz out as quickly as possible. And the other one is more concerned about not the time, but the quantity. We don't have more tum in the world. Says the Gemara Lahali Ktanai. The Machlokes is a different Machlokes that we had in our Mishnah. The Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Mehechen Metzinoi, so exactly from which spot in the Beis HaMikdash do we remove it. One says, because on Shabbos, we're obviously dealing with Issa Muksa. So Rav Shimon Banana says from everywhere, and Rav Kiva says only from the places that Yechayiv al-Zadon Nekaris al-Shigigosoi Chattis. My laugh, Ba'akum Efugi, the Masover, Kol Azara, Loi, that the entire Azara you can't take out the sheretz from, because he holds Hamach the sheretz l'Megdish Potter. There is no Chiyiv, and therefore we cannot let the Issa Muksa, we don't override the Issa Muksa, only at certain spots were there, not because of the Isser, but it's just not a covet for the Shechina that we should have a sheretz in those places. Umandamer, whereas Rabbi Kiva's opinion, who says that Mikula Zara, that it should be removed from the entire Zara, what is the basis for Rabbi Kiva's opinion? He says that Hamachna Sheretz L'Migdash is Chayiv, and therefore, even though it involves moving Muksa, we should take it out from anywhere as quickly as possible. Also, we see from here a vart from the Shas Chuvus Rav Paulim. He says, when we're learning in our Mishnah that from wherever spot we're allowed to take out the sheretz, the Mishnah didn't say that we should take it out and drop it right outside the door of the Azara. So it seems that once we're taking it out, we're allowed to take it out and drop it wherever we need to take it. We don't have to just put it down at the first available spot. So the Shas Chuvus Rav Paulim, Chayla Gimel Ayur Chaim Simen Yud Ches, uses this concept for a very important point. The halacha is that on Shabbos, Mila Bezmana may be done. The knife that's used for the Mila is Muksa. It's Muksa Machsul Saran Kis. So the question is, can that knife be moved after you finish the Bris Mila? So he says that once, as long as the Moil has that knife in his hands, he doesn't have to drop it the moment he finishes using it. He can continue moving it till wherever he needs to take it, as long as he hasn't put it down. And one of the rayas that he uses from is our Mishnah, because our Mishnah seems to say that once you're allowed to move it, you can move it as much as you need to. And therefore, our Mishnah teaches us that we move the sheretz once we're moving it, because we want to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash, we can move it as far as we need to. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It could be that both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon Bananas are of the opinion that Hamachna Sheretz L'Migdash Chayiv. Their only disagreement is about what needs to be done once it's ready in the Azara. Says the Gemara V'Shnei Mikra Echadarshu, and they both really are learning the same from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Beis HaMikdash had become defiled with Avodah Zarah that his father Menashe had brought in. And he wanted to be Matar the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pasuk says, V'yovah Kehanim L'Pnima Beis Hashem L'Tar V'yotziyas Kol HaToma. They took out all the Tumah. The Tumah that is being referred to is the Avodah Zarah. Ashematzu Beheichel Hashem L'Chatzar Beis Hashem V'yikablu Alevim L'Hoitzi L'Nachal Kidron Chutzon. They took it all the way out of Yerushalayim to the Nachal Kidron. So what the pasuk is saying, that they had two groups involved in taking out the avodah zarah. The kahanim took it out from the heichal to the azarah, and then the levim took the avodah zarah from the azarah to nachal kidron. What do we see? That the first part they did through the kahanim, because levim may not enter, as we're going to speak, into the heichal. The other area, the azarah, where levim may enter, the levim took it out and not the kahanim. Now let's think about it. Kahanim are the people who are frequently in the azarah. The levim are not necessarily the people who are frequently in the azarah. Yet the pasuk says they waited for the levim to come to the azarah to take. They waited for the levim to come to the azarah to take out the avodah zarah from the azarah. So it says the Gemara, Mar Sova, Rav Shimon Nana's opinion is, Midishtana Bazar Levim, since we see that they waited for the Levim to come to the Azorah, and not just immediately remove it, it's a raya that Tumah Bazar Laka. There isn't such a great concern about Tumah and Azorah. Well, Mar Sova, whereas Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, that's not a raya, and you have to take it out immediately. But why did they wait for the Levim? To teach us, Hechadef Shab Levim Mafki Kahanim. In a place where Levim may not enter the Heichel, we use Kahanim. Hashtag the Efshab Levim, but in a place where Levim are available, we don't want the Kahanim to get Tameh. And therefore we use the Kahanim. But it has nothing to do with the fundamental question about what area can or can't you bring, can't you bring a Keli that became Tameh with a Sheretz. Tanar Abonim. So we begin a Gemara about where and who may enter in different areas of the Beis Hamikdash. Tana Rabban Hakol Nechnasim Beheichol, Livnois, any type of individual, Kohen Levi Yisrael, may enter the Heichol, Livnois, to build it, Lasakin, to fix it, Lahoitzi as a Tumah, to remove Tumah. However, Mitzvah B'Kahanim, the Mitzvah B'Kahanim, Im Ein Shem Kahanim, if there are no Kahanim, Nechnasim Levim, bring in Levim, Ein Shem Levim, Nechnasim Yisraelim, then bring Yisraelim. The Maral explains that when we say Ein Shom, doesn't mean that we should, that as long as they're not immediately available, the halach is if they're not immediately available, we should bring somebody else. I saw a very interesting shaila in the Sefer Cheshuki Chemed, where our Gemara just taught us that Kahanim come before Levim. He says that there were two people that wanted to have the privilege of cleaning a shul. One was Yisrael, and one was a Levi. And he says that they both wanted the privilege, and the Levi quoted our Gemara. So he says, he quotes the Mishnah Brura in Siman Reish Aleph, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, and the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Kuf Lamed Hei, Sif Katan Yud Beis, that a Levi has more Kedusha by Yisrael than a regular Yisrael, quoting the pasuk in the Torah. The Ksiv Be'esahi Hivdil Shevet Levi. So just like the Levi has more Kedusha, and just like in our Gemara, we see that Levim have precedence over Kahanim, over Yisraelim, in doing taking out the Tumah from the Beis HaMikdash. They will also have precedence in cleaning the Beis HaKnesses over Yisrael, and if these two individuals both want the privilege, the Levi has precedence over the Yisrael. Although he does quote a Shaul Sechuvis, he does quote the Maram Rattenberg that says that even though we're giving in our Gemara precedence to the Levi over the Yisrael, he says that doesn't mean that just because we're giving this precedence, the Levi is treated like a Kohen. For example, he says the halach is that we know that when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, we're supposed to ask the Kohen to do Birchas HaMazon. He says that halach doesn't apply by Levim. Amrav Huna, Rav Kahana Messiah Kahanim. Rav Kahana, who himself was a Kohen, supports the precedence that we give to Kahanim. The Tana Rav Kahana. The Pasuk says, B'toich Shenemar. The Pasuk says, by Kohen, Achal Proichus Lo Yovoi, Yochel Shloy Kahanim Kahanim Balimumin, Nuchnosim Ben Ulam Lizbeach, Lassus Rua Kue Pachim. The walls of the Beis HaMikdash were coated in gold, So we think a kohen who's a baal mum should not be allowed to enter that area to make that coating. Tamalim ach. The Torah, whatever the Torah uses the word ach, it comes to divide, to exclude. Cholak, mitzvah to mumim. Indeed, l'chatchila, we should use kohanim who are not baal mumim. Ain't sham to mumim. If you don't have a kohen who's not a baal mum, nechnasim baal mumim, mitzvasim b'taharim. Al-Khathila, we should use somebody who's tar, and main sham tarim. If we can't find somebody who's tar, nechnasim tamayim, we should use tamayim. So, says the Gemara, idi idi, but everybody agrees that if they're of the same stature, they're both either healthy or both, unfortunately, balmum, they're both tahor or they're both tamay, everybody agrees, kahanim in Yisraelim loy. Kohanim take precedence over Yisrael. So ask the Gemara, Ibai Luhu, Tomei Ubalmum. You have two Kohanim. And we just said, Kohanim take precedence over everyone else. So here you have a Kohen who's Tomei and a Kohen who's Ubalmum to do whatever has to be done in working in the Beis HaMikdash. Which one is preferable? Eiz Mehem Nichnas. Rav Chiya Barashi Omar Rav. Tamei nichnas, the tamei is better. The ishtar b'avayda tzimber. The halacha is, as we quoted earlier in the shir, tuma hotra b'tzibur. And since tuma hotra b'tzibur, so we see a case that the kohen is allowed to do avayda. This kohen, even though he's tamei, is allowed to do avayda. Rav Lazar oimer b'amum nichnas. The b'amum should do it. The ishtar b'achilas kachim. If there's kachim, the halacha is b'amum. A kohen is b'amum may not do avayda, but he's allowed to eat kachim. But a kohen who's tamei obviously may not do avoida, and therefore maybe he has preference. So I saw that an explanation in this machlokes is the question is eating kachim an avoida? If we say that eating kachim is an avoida, Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Sefer Beis Oitzer, Klal Kuf Samach Gimel explains it this way. If we say that eating kachim is an avoida, so we see that there's a time that a baal mum is allowed to do an avoida. A tamei can never do avoida, only b'diavad where there's no tar de gekoyin available. If, however, we say, he explains, that eating kachim is a privilege, but it's not necessarily an avoida, so then we could understand why a baal mum is preferable over why the tamei is preferable over the baal mum. Because there is, albeit and under rare circumstances, a situation where a tamei could do an avoida, but there will never be a situation where a baal mum may do the avoida. The Mishnah concluded with words that we said we're going to explain in the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon said, Makam shentiruloch chachamim mishulchan notnuloch. And the Gemara says, what does he mean with this statement? Says the Gemara Hasam Koi. He's going back to a Mishnah that we learned on Daf Nun Beis, Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Mishu hichshach chutz l'tchum, somebody who got stuck on the road Friday afternoon, so he could only walk l'tchum, afila amachas, and if he's even one amma outside of his tchum, the halach is lo yikanes, he may not enter the city on Shabbos. You're only allowed to walk 2,000 amma. And if he needs to walk even one amma more, you may not. Shimon Omer, afil chameshes amma. You get leeway of 15 ammas, yikanes, he may enter. For as we explained, l'fisha'ena moishchas mematzenes amidos, v'mnei atoim. When they used to measure the tchum, they didn't do it exactly. And they cut it short. So even though normally that's something which is a disadvantage, we don't get the full 2,000 amos, now it's going to be to our advantage because we have this extra leeway. The Kamatana Kama Shloi Konas, Rav Tana Kama says that wherever the Tchum ends, they may not go. Vomalei Rav Shimon says, no, they have this leeway of the 15 amos. So what's Pshat in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Mokim Shetir L'cha Chomim, that according to Shimon, you're allowed to walk those 15 amos, they didn't give you anything extra. You were deprived of the 15 extra amos, but now those 15 extra amos that you were deprived of, you're getting back. And now, if you're stuck, you won't be stuck on the road. You have this little leeway of 15 amos. The other statement, which Rav Shimon concluded the Mishnah was Shlai Tirlecha El Shlai Tirlecha El Mishum Shvus. Ask the Gemara again, what did Rav Shimon mean with that statement? Says the Gemara Hachikai. It's going back to what we learned on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We spoke about the string on the harp that tore in the base of Migdash and Shabbos. The Tanakam, that we learned the Tanakam's opinion there was Kaishroi, that in order that the Levium should be able to do Shira B'Shabbos. For as we explained when we learned that Sugya, that whole Sugya, that Mishnah is obviously of the opinion that Ik is Shira B'Keli. That when you bring a carbon, we have to have Shira, and the way Shira is properly done is with instruments, so we're allowed to fix the instrument if it doesn't involve and Issa Daraisa on Shabbos, because of the concept that we've learned so many times in this parak of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So the Tanakam says that if this string ripped Kaishrei, you're allowed to tie it together. Vamla Reb Shimon, and we learned Reb Shimon's opinion on Daf Kuf Gimel Amar Aleph, Oinvoy, that we're only allowed to make a bow, we're not allowed to make a knot. And that's what Reb Shimon means to say in our Mishnah. That the Tanakam in that Mishnah said that you're allowed to make a knot. And I'm telling you, you're only allowed to make Shlo Yitilcha Ela Meshum Shvus. I only allow you something to do something that can never come to an Issa D'Raisa. So even if we'll say that the Kshira, as we discussed when we learned that Sugya, that was done, wasn't an Issa D'Raisa, but Chazal said, according to Rav Shimon, a malacha that could potentially come to an Issa D'Raisa, that's why the Mishnah, that is Asur. Only something that can't come to malacha D'Raisa, Aniva, which is never a malacha D'Raisa of Kshira, may be done. Aniva, the loyos of Dechiv Chatas, Shara Leir Bonin, that's what Rabbanan allowed you to do to fix the kinor in the base of Migdash. However, Kshira, the loyos of Dechiv Chatas, Kshira, which could come to Chiv Chatas, because Kshira, obviously, is a Malacha D'Raisa, that, Rav Shimon says, L'shar le'Rabbonon, even in the base of Migdash, where I'll do it in a fashion where it isn't a Malacha D'Raisa, but this is something that potentially can be a Malacha D'Raisa, something that can be a Malacha D'Raisa, and this is the way I saw the Morel Diskin explains. He explains that anything that could come to Malacha D'Raisa, even here it's not a Kesher Shel Kayama, is not going to be mutter. However, he goes on to say a Chiddush Nifla. He says that if the Kshira you're doing, you don't need to, under any circumstances, to remain, that isn't considered a Maisa Kshira. So he gives two examples. He says the Sara Mishtaleach, which they threw down the mountain, they threw down on Yom Kippur, they used to tie a Loshen Shel Zahuris, a red thread around the horns of that Sara Mishtaleach. The question is, how could they put that thread there? That thread there isn't a Kesher Shel Kiyama. But the answer is that after they threw down that animal, they didn't need that Kesher. A Kesher that you don't need is not considered a Kesher. And the Tzitz Eliezer uses this in Chelik Tezai and Simon Tezvov for doctors, nurses who work in a hospital and put together an injection and they connect the needle part to the medicine part and they leave it there. Why is that not considered that you're connecting something on Shabbos? Because I only need it there for as long as we're going to give the patient the injection. After we give the patient the injection, we can just throw it out. Something that there's no need for it to remain, there's no problem. He says that there's no issue of kesher. The question is that what's the point in these two statements that Rav Shimon is making? So I saw a beautiful pshat. What we find here in Rav Shimon, it's something that's important whenever we think about halacha. On one hand, we find that Rav Shimon is a mekel. He allows this person who's stuck to walk those extra amos on Shabbos. On the other hand, by the broken harp, Rav Shimon is lenient. So Rav Shimon is teaching us that that's the way we're supposed to look at halacha. The way we're supposed to look at halacha is that a person is not supposed to be always a machmer. A person is not supposed to always be a mekel. What a person is supposed to look for, a person is supposed to look for the truth. Sometimes in halacha, in Torah, sometimes the truth will lead you to a chumrah. Sometimes the truth will lead you to a kula. And the Mishnah is teaching us, as we finish Masechta Erevin, what we're supposed to look for is for the truth. And therefore, sometimes you'll end up with a kula, and sometimes you'll end up with a chumrah. The Taisa says, we already learned this halacha about Ein Shvus B'Migdash. We learned the Sugyon Daf Kopeis and Kof Gimel, what do you do with a broken harp? So the question is, Rav Shimon's opinion, although, as we mentioned, was brought down in the Gemara on Daf Kof Gimel in a Braisa, but why didn't that Mishnah immediately quote Rav Shimon's opinion? Why did the Gemara wait till the end of the Masechta, where we're already not speaking about the halacha of the broken harp, to come back to Rav Shimon's halacha to conclude the Masechta? So Taisa says we wanted to end the Masechta with halachas what take place in the Beis Hamikdash. So by ending the Masechta, we ended with the halacha of what Rav Shimon says may or may not be done with the broken harp in the Beis Hamikdash. The last parak of Masechta Erevin is Hamoitzi Tefillin. Somebody finds Tefillin on Shabbos, what may you do, what may you not do. As we began the parak, we discussed the issue, how does this parak actually come into Masechta Erevin? It isn't really specific, that subject, and most of the halachas we learned in this parak aren't directly related to Masechta Erevin. But perhaps the lesson of Tefillin and the lesson of Erevin are very connected. What Tefillin teaches us, why is a Jew supposed to wear Tefillin? Because a person is supposed to have Tefillin on his head, on his arms, to remember that we are constantly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew is supposed to be always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Tefillin serve as a reminder to us of that very important role that we play in the world. So that's why. And what is Erevin? Erevin is also the whole concept, as we began the Masechta, the whole concept of Masechta Erevin is to teach us that a person is supposed to be careful. If you're going to carry from one type of Rishus HaYochid to another type of Rishus HaYochid, you may come to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Shlomo HaMelech therefore made the Takana of Erevin. The lesson is the same. A Jew is always supposed to remember who he is, where he is, what he may do, what he may not do. And of course, what he really has to remember always is that he should always be, as the Tefillin remind us, connected to Hashem, connected to the Dvar Hashem, connected to the Torah Hashem. That is our obligation in this world. Hanu lach hamotzi tefillin, v'slik lach masechta erevin.